Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God is worthy.
like jazz or contact sports, and what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hand and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Help his fellow man. Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray, to simply tell the Father thank you? And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. What will Jesus do? Listen. 'Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. What will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like. He looks like you.
Jehovah Adon Kol Haaretz, which means the Lord of all the earth, In Joshua 3:13, in the NIV says, as soon as the priest who carried the ark of the Lord of all the earth, Jehovah Adol, Kol Haaretz, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. The Lord, Lord of all the earth, as the Israelites sought to enter the promised land, a river blocked their way. They had seen you part the Red Sea, but now it was time to see you in a new way. You told them you had given them the land and that you would drive out their enemies if they would do what you say. So you sent their priests into the Jordan. And as their feet touched the water's edge, you stopped the waters from flowing and dried up the riverbed so the people could cross over, offering you honor and praise all along the way. You are a great and awesome God who still does mighty acts on behalf of your people. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen? Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection.
of God in all that we do, no matter where we are. Belongs to him in the fullness of his blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. As far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and he's coming in the clouds.
Devotional message, amen, which is entitled Draw Out. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Exodus chapter 2 verse 10, and it says, She named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. Praise be to God for the reading of the word. The writer says, when the people of Israel became numerous in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh grew anxious that they would join forces with enemies to overthrow him. So to stop their population growth, he enslaved the Israelites and gave the evil, devastating decree that they should throw their newborn sons into the Nile in Exodus 1 and 22. Don't read over that as if it's just a story. The persecution and agony experienced by the Israelites were just as real as any pressure you feel today. Amen. But consider what God was teaching us through this. Death was by water, but the Lord, through Pharaoh's daughter, drew Moses out of the Nile to deliver the people of Israel. God reversed the situation to bring good to his people. There's an important principle here. When God delivers you, he will use the very challenge you face to raise up a blessing in your life. True. It's not until you are beyond the ability to save yourself that the Lord receives the glory for rescuing you. And that can be unnerving, but you can always count on him. So when you face a situation that appears beyond your control, don't fear. Instead, rejoice, because that means God is at work, and in some way, he will use it for your good. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Jesus, thank you for taking my difficulties and working through them for blessings. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening, Drawn Out. Praise be to God. So you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection. And I do hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music.
Everybody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the Come on.
Our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
His strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Forever he'll reign.
Come on, say my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Forever.
Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice is safe.
Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Great.
Send down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you are on earth. A holy king, a carpenter. You are the living
awesome ruler.
Awesome ruler.
Gentile redeemer. This is what we'd like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man. The Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call.
Born
in a manger,
born,
but on a tree
Amen. Praise be to God. Jesus, Jesus, that's what we call you, bread of life. And now it is time for our daily bread. Praise be to God. Which is entitled, God Redeems Our Pain. Amen. And the scripture for this message is coming from Ruth chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, and Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. So Ruth chapter 2, verses 20 through 22 says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. May the Lord bless him, Naomi told her daughter-in-law. He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers. Then Ruth said, what's more, Boaz even told me to come back and stay with his harvesters until the entire harvest is completed. Good, Naomi exclaimed. Do as he said, my daughter. Stay with his young women right through the whole harvest. You might be harassed in other fields, but you'll be safe with him. Amen. Now let's go to chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And it says, so Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age, for he is the son of your daughter-in-law, who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons. Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said, now at last Naomi has a son again, and they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. The writer says, or the text for this message is coming from Ruth chapter 2, verse 20, and it says, the Lord bless him. That man is our close relative. The writer says, watched her friend loading her dental equipment into his car. A fellow dentist he had brought and brand new supplies from her. Bought brand new supplies from her. Having her own practice had been Oliver's dream for years. But when her son Kyle was born with cerebral palsy, she realized she had to stop working to care for him. If I had a million lifetimes, I'll make the same choice, my friend told me. But giving up dentistry was difficult. It was the death of a dream. We often go through difficulties we cannot understand. For Olive, it was the heartache of her child's unexpected medical condition and relinquishing her own ambitions. For Naomi, it was the heartache of losing her entire family in Ruth 1 and 21. She lamented, "The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. But there was more to Naomi's story than what she could see. God did not abandon her. He brought restoration by providing her with a grandson, Obed, in Ruth 4 and 17. Obed would not only carry on the name of Naomi's husband and son, but through him, she would be a relative of an ancestor, Boaz of Jesus himself, Matthew 1, 5, and 16. God redeemed Naomi's pain. He also redeemed Olive's pain by helping her begin a ministry for children with neurological conditions. We may experience seasons of heartache, but we can trust that as we obey and follow God, He can redeem our pain. In His love and wisdom, we can make good come out of it. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. How has God redeemed your trials in the past? And how is He encouraging you in your present difficulties? Think about those two questions. Amen. Dear God, thank you that you are redeeming the painful stories of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our daily bread for this evening. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection. the Lord of all the earth. Sometimes it can be difficult to see how you will make a way where there seems to be no way. I wish I could know what the Israelites were thinking as they stood along the banks of the Jordan after hearing that you had instructed them to walk through it into the promised land. Did they doubt you? Just as I sometimes do? Did they immediately give you thanks, or did they wait until they saw the water begin to stop flowing? I confess to you, the Lord of all the earth, I often forget that you have control over the earth you created. The elements are nothing to you. After all, you made them. You are not bound by the laws of science, and the earth is your playground, and it is under your command. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And at this time, I am going to play a selection. God, Amy. Okay, here we go.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, this is simple. We gonna have a church. When I look back on my life, and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about His goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning, and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God? My God is
sustaining
me.
Sustain
me.
Don't do you right.
Amen. Praise be to God. No looking back. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 10 through 15. Amen? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Sit down. Sit down. And it says, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Praise be to God. So two sure ways to destroy a building are to tamper with the foundation and to build with inferior material. The church must be built on Christ, not on any other person or principles. Christ will elevate each person's contribution to the life of the church, and Judgment Day will reveal the sincerity of each person's work. God will determine whether or not a person has been faithful to Jesus' instructions. Good work will be rewarded. Unfaithful or inferior work will be discounted. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames, means that unfaithful workers will be saved, but only by the skin of their teeth. All their accomplishments will count for nothing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come tonight to bow down before you in worship. We recognize you not only as the source of our life, but as the sustainer of our lives. We thank you for the blessings that makes physical life possible. But we also thank you for nourishing our spiritual lives. We come tonight to thank you for the privilege of working and earning an income. From our earnings, we come to bring tithes to express our gratitude and at the same time our concern for others. Bless these gifts to the end that we shall all worship you in spirit and in truth and practice love toward one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Have you ever been to an estate auction following a death when personal items were put up for sale? This can be a sad and sobering experience, someone has said. One person's junk is another person's treasure. While this may be true, one cannot help but observe that there is always a lot of trash that remains when the average person passes away. This should cause each of us to raise the question, am I living for trash? Will the values I live for have eternal significance? Tonight, let us ask ourselves, am I living for true treasure, or am I living for trash? My text for this message is coming from Matthew's chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 in the NRSV version Bible. And it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. And my title for this message is Living for Treasure or Trash. Tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs. Amen. First one, Christ Jesus came to say, to save us earthling for a heavenly life. Christ Jesus came to save us earthlings for a heavenly life. God. In 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 41. Amen. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise be to God. Chapter 15, verses 35 through 41. And it says, but someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh. One kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. Praise be to God. So God the Creator has given us bodies that are perfectly adapted to our earthly habitat. In this great classic passage dealing with the hope of resurrection from the dead, Paul illustrates the power of wisdom of God and wisdom of God. God gave us each an earthly body that is perfectly adapted to an earthly habitat. To depict the wisdom and power of God regarding our earthly life, Paul used illustrations from botany, zoology, and astronomy. The plants of the field have a body perfectly adapted for the fruit that is to be produced. Humans, animals, birds, and fish have bodies adapted for their natural habitat. In the realm of astronomy, each star is different and is perfectly appropriate for its orbit and its place in the universe. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 through 44. Amen. And it says, it is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Amen. Praise be to God. So the wisdom of the power of God will provide for believers a body perfectly adapted for the heavenly home. Paul declared, so is it with the resurrection of the dead. The Father God's wisdom and power will make available to us spiritual bodies that are perfectly adapted for a heavenly habitat. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5:4. Oh, I don't think he intends for us to read the whole thing. That was short. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about the new bodies. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary. One second there. Okay. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared for us this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing, not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped elevating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, excuse me, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. To God be the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. By giving us the Holy Spirit, the Father God is giving us a present guarantee that we will experience resurrection and that we will live eternal in the heavens, in the house not made with hands. Praise be to God. Christ teaches us to live and work with heaven always before us. The words of our text are not a gimmick for receiving an offering. In these words, our Lord is seeking to enrich us rather than to impoverish us. God is no pauper, no pauper. Nor is he a thief. He is not a beggar who sits on the sidewalk begging alms from us. Our gifts do not enrich him. God is interested in our highest possible good in the present as well as in the future. When we live with the issue and values of eternity, we are going to be richer both in the present and in the future. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Christ wants us to be rich with the riches that do not perish. Christ, our Lord, was giving us some excellent financial advice and spiritual counsel. His concern was not for the gifts that we might give. Rather, he was concerned about the location of our hearts. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It is possible for you to live all of your life for treasures that will turn out to be nothing but trash. Trash is that which is worn out, broken, or worthless. We cannot take earthly treasures with us into eternity. Thus, they have no permanent value for us. Note to Pastor, if you wish to use some visible illustration, do so at this point. Secure a trash container is some sort, possibly a plastic bag or a waste can. Use toys or other objects such as a toy house, automobile, furniture, or boat. Include some coins and, if possible, a diamond ring. These should be placed in the container one by one as you deal with the following thoughts. A house is possible, our very best investment. But in the final analysis, a house will have no value for us. In much of the world, an automobile is considered a necessity. We will not be able to take our automobiles with us through the strainer that people call death. In our homes, we need furniture, but the day will come when the furniture will have no more value than trash. Some people enjoy the luxury of a boat, but we cannot take a boat to heaven with us. You cannot take even one silver coin with you to heaven. It's like other trash. A diamond ring is a beautiful and highly valued thing, but not even our most highly prized treasure on earth can pass through death into our heavenly home. They will be considered as having no more value than trash. It is possible to live for treasure that will last forever. You can take your soul through death to heaven. Your greatest possessions is your own personal welfare. You can take your personal spiritual growth with you into heaven. You do not have to remain in spiritual infancy. With the help of the Holy Spirit and by nurturing yourself on the Word of God, you can grow and take growth to heaven with you. You can take your memory with you to heaven. In Luke 16, we read of the memory of the unsaved man who found himself in torment. If people can remember in hell, we certainly can remember when we get to heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tonight's experience are tomorrow's memories. You can take those whom you have won to Christ with you into heaven. These will be your richest treasures and your most prized valuables once you enter into eternity. You can take to heaven the service that you have rendered to God and to others. You can take to heaven the believers you discipled. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. The apostle was a wise master builder, but the grace of God made him such. Spiritual pride is abandonable. It is using the greatest favors of God to feed our own vanity and make idols of ourselves. But let every man take heed. There may be bad building on a good foundation. Nothing must be laid upon it, but what the foundation will bear and what is of a piece with it. Let us not dare to join a merely human or a carnal life with a divine faith. The corruption of sin with the profession of Christianity. Christ is a firm, abiding, and immovable rock of ages, in every way able to bear all the weight that God himself or the sinners can lay upon him. Neither is there salvation in any other. Leave out the doctrine of his atonement, and there is no foundation for our hopes. But of those who rest on this foundation, there are two sorts. Some hold nothing but the truth as it is in Jesus. They preach and preach nothing else. Others build on the good foundation what will not abide the test. When the day of trial comes, we may be mistaken in ourselves and others, but there is a day coming that will show our action in true light without covering or disguise those who spread true and pure religion in all its branches and whose work will abide in the great day, shall receive a reward, and how great, how much exceeding their deserts. There are others whose corrupt opinion and doctrine or vain inventions and usage in the worship of God shall be made known, disowned, and rejected in that day. This is plainly meant of a figurative fire, not of a real one. For what real fire can consume religious rites or doctrines? And it is to try every man's work, those of Paul and Apollos, as well as others. Let us consider the tendency of our undertaking, compare them with God's word, and judge ourselves, that we be not judge of the Lord. To God be the glory. And as I bring this message to a close, what are you living for? Are you living for earthly treasures that someday will have no more value than mere trash? Will you go off and leave your treasure behind? Ours is the choice of living for true treasure that have eternal significance, or for values that will eventually be considered as worthless. What will it profit a person if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The highest wisdom that any person can use is the wisdom of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, leader, guide, and teacher. Jesus challenges us to live for the true treasure that will be valuable throughout all eternity. I pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen. My benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it does say, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when I will come with a word from the Lord at 10:30. And I'm following that, we will have our very own Barbara A. Amore will come with our poetry. And following the poetry will be our communion service. And after the communion service, we will come with our inspirational music and our walking in grace. Devotionals. Amen. So I want to say God bless you. Thank you for showing up in the spirit and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this evening. And I pray and hope that you truly, truly enjoyed the word. Living for treasure or trash. To God be the glory. Good night. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you again till we meet tomorrow morning. Amen. And shalom, everyone. Good night to all of our Facebook listeners, our Twitter listeners, our YouTube listeners, Instagram, Block Talk Radio, however you listen to Pray One for Another. May God bless you and your families. Good night.
Higher, spiritually stronger, a family Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10465.